I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to The Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
And here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes! He's gone!
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, Score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about in?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And happy Saturday morning to you. Hope you've had a great week as we head into what hopefully will be a great holiday weekend. You have The Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I'm Mike Esposito alongside Barry Cronin. We are happy to have you here every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 as we talk a little golf. And Barry, good morning. We had lots of excitement last weekend at the PGA.
Oh, man. How about Phil Mickelson became the oldest player to win a major championship at the age of 50, almost 51, and it was really an unbelievable for anybody who saw it, and I'm sure most of our listeners probably saw it. Sure. It was really a total prize fight, man. It was Phil was leading by one, and then after the first hole, he was trailing by one. And he and Brooks Koepka kind of had it out the entire 18 holes. And I mean, what an unlikely scenario to happen, and just terrific, I think, for the game of golf. Phil clearly is one of the biggest stars in the game, he and Tiger. And now that Tiger's laid up, Phil's the man. And next month at the U.S. Open, the U.S. Open is the last leg of the Grand Slam that Phil has not won. And so it gives him hope. The USGA was going to give him an exemption to play in the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines next month. And with the victory at Kiawah Island, winning the PGA, he doesn't need the special exemption. He gets in as a result of that. So it's a terrific thing for Phil, and I think it's great for golf.
Yeah, it was great fun watching it. And I'm sure most of our listeners joined me in that and enjoying watching the finish. And just, you know, that's why we love sports, right? You see your heroes, your favorites, you know, legends of the game do what they do, and stuff that has never happened before. As you mentioned, the oldest ever to win a major. We joked about it a little bit last week on the show that, you know, Phil had the lead going into round three. But I don't know that either of us seriously thought that he was going to win. But sure enough, there was Phil at the end, and it was great TV. The swarm of people at the end there. I know I saw the PGA Tour comment about making sure that you know, they keep control of the crowds and whatnot. But certainly having fans back is wonderful, and you know, just I'm sure they would rather not have people swarming Phil Mickelson as he's playing, right? So that's probably
well, not. Yeah, of course, yeah. But it was kind of a kind of an iconic moment. It was a little, did look a little bit dangerous at the time, because it just the crowd was really out of control. I mean, I remember back in the 1997 Western Open, when Tiger Woods was coming down the 18th fairway, people sort of blew through the ropes and came up on him. It didn't seem like there were quite as many people at that point, and maybe they weren't. I think they were probably just as drunk as the people at Kiawah, actually. but it didn't seem quite. I was standing behind the green that day, and I don't remember it being feeling it was quite as perilous as what it was with Mickelson and Koepka. That was a little bit too much. I think they lost control, and that was unfortunate. I'm not sure. I think with the whole uncertainty about how many fans were going to be out there, this is just my pure speculation that maybe they didn't have the ropes situation. I'm not sure if they broke through the ropes or they were just there on the side. And anyway, so yeah, that was unfortunate, but it was a little unnerving, as Phil said, but awesome. It turned out to be great.
And then to show the fickle nature of this game, as we all already know, today or yesterday, he missed the cut at Colonial. But and we will talk about Colonial. Our old pal Jordan Spieth leading there at 11 under par, his home turf, and where he always does well. He always plays well, and he is leading after 63-66 in his first two rounds at 11 under par. So Spieth, one to watch. He certainly seems to have righted the ship, so to speak, with his game this year, and he's playing well heading into the weekend.
Right, his putter's on fire, and it's a very calm situation down there. They had a little weather, so that softened up the course yesterday. And but you know, Jordan's been playing great most of this year, and it's good for golf. He played pretty well at the PGA. He didn't play great, but I think he was 30th or whatever. You know, that's a good showing for him. And Phil did miss the cut. I was stunned when he said after the PGA, he says, yeah, you know, I'm going to go play Colonial next week. You know, and I know he's got a history at Colonial and he plays well there, but I was stunned. Usually a guy wins a major and then he'll take off the next week, even if he's committed to a tournament, you know, because it's such a emotional situation when you win a big tournament like that. But right. I was surprised Phil decided to go, so maybe he had something going with Charles Schwab on the side. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's he gone now, as they say, as Hawk would say, he gone. So
he gone. Steve Stone say, though? That's more important.
Steve Stone would have some a very smart, witty comment about Phil missing the cut. I'm certain about that. And certainly undoubtedly comment about how great he is. And, I mean, listen, that was, you know, just like Tiger winning the Masters a few years ago again, you know, the comeback, Phil winning the PGA at 50, almost 51, pretty good. And certainly going to be a lot of attention on the U.S. Open when he's trying to get that career grand slam. Barry and I are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have, before we get into more of the golf events, coming up on the show today, I wanted to give you a quick rundown of our guest list. Barry, Ryan Oakes, the general manager of Sunset Valley Golf Course in Highland Park, will join us first, talking about the new short game practice area there that they have at Sunset Valley, primarily for junior golfers. We'll talk to Ryan at 6:20. Drew Davison from the Fort Worth Star Telegram covering the Colonial. He's down there in Fort Worth. And we will talk to him about Jordan Spieth and about the tournament this weekend. At the top of the 7 o'clock hour, Scott Fawcett, golf teacher, former tour pro. He is one of the hottest names in the biz right now in terms of teaching. Will Zalatoris, Bryson DeChambeau, among others that have used his services. So we will talk to Scott. Very interesting backstory on him that I can't wait to dive in. So, clearly a smart guy, a math major, math student, poker player, company founder, and developer of a course management system that uses statistical analysis to help golfers. It's called Decade. Lots to dive into there. We'll be excited to do that at 7. And then finally, at 7:40, Brad Merrick, He was one of the two PGA pros who made the cut last weekend at the PGA Championship. He's a native of Arlington Heights, Hersey High School, and he is now a teacher out there in Berkeley, California. Will be fun to talk to him about his experience at the PGA last week. So getting back to what's going on locally, Barry, the Evans Scholars Invitational at Glen Club this week, I saw some of the Twitter reports, if you will, right, of people. Well, that's, and we talk about weather all the time because it's a golf show, right? And, you know, weather affects the game. But a very odd weather week we've had here in Chicago with, you know, very late fall-like conditions heading into Memorial Day weekend, which is not what we want. But, you know, a few days from now, it'll be back to summer. But yesterday, certainly not the greatest day to be out there at the Glen Club, right?
No, I mean, the people that I talked to who were out there were like, are you kidding me? Right. It was 46 degrees, raining, and raining sideways because the wind was so incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, as we know, having lived in Chicago for many years, you know, you go from the 4th of July, hot, humid, 90 degrees, and then all of a sudden you're back in November, football weather. Yesterday and the day before that. So, yeah, it was pretty rough, but... you know, the boys are getting it done. Nick Hardy, who grew up in Northbrook, mm-hmm. he's in second place. He's at 9 under par. The leader's at 10 under. So Nick's going to be on the PGA Tour next year. So, folks, if you want to get a look at a guy who's a terrific athlete, played at Illinois and Big Ten Player of the Year and All-American and an All-American human being too. Nick Hardy is mm-hmm. a great dude. So you could go out today or tomorrow. Free tickets. Just go to the website, evansscholarsinvitational.com, and you can sign up for free tickets. Free parking. The whole thing is free. And the other thing is tied for fifth is Patrick Flavin, who is from Highland Park. Patrick, another really cool young guy, and also grew up on Sunset Valley Golf Course, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Patrick is at 4 under par. So he's doing great, and he got a sponsor's exemption. So that's really cool when somebody gets a sponsor's exemption and actually is able to take advantage of it. So that's terrific. Andy Pope, another Chicago guy, tied for eighth. Luke Guthrie, who went to the University of Illinois, had been out on the Corn Ferry Tour for a while, is tied for 12th. And I think I saw Vince India here. Yeah, Vince is T12. And at 2 under par, and Vince was at the University of Iowa, and from Deerfield, and he's been trying to make it out on that tour. Almost made it a couple of years ago, missed it by one shot to get on the PGA Tour. So he's still at it. So we've got a good group of locals, and Brad Hopfinger, also from Lake Forest, and went to the University of Iowa. He's tied for 22nd. So we've got a lot of local interest out there. So if you wanted to get out there and check it out, the weather is not as miserable today. In fact, I believe there is sun.
Yes, and I saw 60s this afternoon. I don't know, like I said, I don't know what the last 48 hours have been, but once today gets going, it should warm up into the 60s at least, and then I'm sure it'll be 100 next week, so we'll figure that out at some point. Yeah. But as you mentioned, the cool thing about this, it's at the Glen Club, it's free tickets, you get to see... among others, and I think we can call him friend of the show, just like Stuart Sink. I think Nick Hardy qualifies as friend of the show. He's been on.
Oh, yeah.
We've been glad to have him, and certainly, as you said, he will be on the tour next year. So congrats to him, and you can go out and watch Nick and all the other locals that you just mentioned. Free tickets that you could find online, Evans Scholars Invitational. So cool stuff today up at the Glen Club, this weekend, the entire weekend up at the Glen Club. And then a few other items before we get ready to talk to Ryan Oakes at Sunset Valley, Barry. We saw at least it amused me, I hope it amused you, the Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers thing, you know, their competition coming up. Brady and Phil Mickelson will team up. Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau will team up, much as we saw Brady versus Manning last year. So this year it's Brady versus Rodgers, but... almost more fun than the announcement of the actual competition was the social media fun that then DeChambeau and his old pal Brooks Koepka got into on Twitter after that.
Yeah. Twitter is something else.
Sure is.
Yeah, the two of them, probably a lot of people have seen the little video situation that occurred with Bryson and Brooks. They go back a long way and they've got a rivalry. So Brooks is being interviewed by a guy named Todd Lewis from Golf Channel. And, you know, it's really not cool. Like, if you're a TV person, it's really, you sort of dread when somebody walks behind your shot, right? So here's Brooks being interviewed by Todd Lewis about the PGA. You know, it's at Kiowa, and walking behind him on the cart path is Bryson DeChambeau with his metal spikes on. So it's click, clack, click, clack, which most people don't wear those anymore. But anyway, just kind of did it in order to annoy Brooks. And then Brooks rolls his eyes and then kind of says a few bad words and, you know, tries to regain his train of thought, et cetera. And then it continues. And apparently they don't like each other. But what's amazing to me is just how petty this nonsense is. I have a hard time thinking that in the 60s, Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, that this would have happened. You know, that Jack Nicklaus would have walked behind Arnold Palmer with his spikes real loud just in order to annoy Arnie, you know. And those two were rivals, of course. But these two characters, DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, are going to be on the same Ryder Cup team in about 4 months, in the end of September, playing at Whistling Straits. And what is Steve Stricker, who's the captain of that team, to do with these knuckleheads? You know, put one on one side of the hotel, or they're going to have a. I imagine in the dining room at the Ryder Cup, the American team dinner, at this long table, and we have to put Brooks down here near this head of the table, and Bryson down at the other side. Maybe we should put them at both at the heads of the table, and have them, I don't know, just
death stare
just,
at
it's
each other.
Just so it's absurd to think. It's absurd to think. You know, for a long time, you may recall that. When Tiger and Phil were going through at the peak of their careers early, you know, Tiger was in his 20s and Phil's a little bit older. There was a bit of a rivalry there in that they didn't like each other. I think that that's worked itself out over the years. But I don't that they never did this kind of stuff. Of course, maybe they didn't have Twitter there. And maybe this is a reason we shouldn't have Twitter.
I've told my wife many times, if it wasn't for all the family pictures that I found on Facebook, I wouldn't have Facebook. And certainly Twitter is right in there, right? With
100%, 100%. And you know, there's certain elements that I really like about social media. It's really fun and it's great. It's a great way to keep up with things just on your phone, flipping through Instagram or just to kind of keep up. But you know, the absurdity of these guys going back and forth. I mean, it's like, you know, Real Housewives of Kiowa Island or something.
Now there's a show. Barry, I think you're onto something.
Well, you know.
Television production next after your stint as editor of Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Anyway, we are late for a break, Barry. This segment was presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. When we come back, we will talk to Ryan Oakes, the general manager of Sunset Valley. That is coming up next right here on The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito here on 670 The Score.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back here on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here with you. Barry, wow. we give you Texas music because we're down in Texas this week. This is a personal selection of our friend Adam Studzinski. Not mine. Barry, Adam Studzinski, our producer, says we cannot do Texas music without Meatloaf, so I give you Meatloaf.
No, that's great. I have no problem with Meatloaf, although I don't have any of their albums, I don't think. Are they on vinyl or what?
Yes,
no, I guess not.
This one would be off of Bat Out of Hell, the classic from what, 1977, whatever?
Yes.
Everyone goes Paradise by the Dashboard Light, but Adam zags when everyone else zigs. He gives us 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So
I think he knows it's early morning Saturday, so you don't want to overwhelm anybody. I think that's just kind of a nice driving to the golf course kind of song.
Well, there you go. And we are happy to hear from our friend Mr. Loaf, and we're also happy now, Barry, to head on out to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or at apnissan.com. There we find the general manager out at Sunset Valley in Highland Park. Ryan Oakes joins us. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning, Ryan. And we'd be remiss if we didn't say you were also the golf course superintendent out there. You're in charge of the grass.
Yes, that as well.
That's great. So you had a nice celebration earlier this week out there. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
Sure. We had our grand opening this past Monday, May 24th, for our new Youth Golf Development Center, which is adjacent to our south parking lot. And it was all from donated funds. It's on an acre of land, and it's just like a small short game area that you can chip and practice shots up to 50 yards. We have a couple practice bunkers there, and we have a couple netted hitting days for golfers to practice before their round. It's going to be a great amenity, a great site to give youth instruction through the summer months.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, Ryan. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone to a golf course and you go to the putting green before you're going to tee off, and there's a little sign next to the green that says no chipping. And it always used to drive me crazy because it's like that's the most important part of the game.
Exactly, exactly. Now we have that amenity at Sunset Valley for golfers to partake in.
Right. And go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to ask Ryan, too, because I know you guys have done extensive renovating there at Sunset Valley, and this is just part of it, and really adding on to the draw of the club, which, I mean, people already enjoy as it is.
Yeah, it was kind of like the culmination. The one thing we did not have at Sunset Valley is kind of like a practice area. We do have a practice putting green, but we don't have like a practice area where golfers can truly warm up before the round. And now I believe we have that.
Right. And tell us a little bit about the renovation. It's been, what, about 3 years now?
Yeah, we renovated the course in 2017. And we took the fall of 2017 and the spring of 2018 to really grow the course in. And then we opened the course in late summer of 2018. And then 2019 was the first full year that we were open. And then 2020 last year, of course, was the pandemic, and golf truly wasn't open until June. But we still managed in 2020 to do over 41,000 rounds, which is truly incredible. And then we're off to a great start this year as well.
Right. And who was the architect that did that renovation? Was he any good at that?
Oh, he was fantastic. Rick Jacobson did the renovation of the course and the short game area. So he was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and Ryan, you mentioned last year with COVID, and then this year the start you guys are off to. I know, you know, we talked about it a lot on the show. We've talked about it with people, guests on the show. The game really was a refuge for a lot of people once things did open up in terms of getting outside, being able to do something. It wasn't sitting in your house being locked down, but certainly a lot of new interest. And I wonder if you're seeing a lot of new people coming out to Sunset Valley.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of the younger generation start playing golf more, and which I think that's a key to how to grow the game and how to expand on it and how to help future generations to come. You know, we did, like I said, we did 41,000 rounds last year, and we're off to almost 9,000 rounds. After this weekend, we'll be over 9,000 rounds before the end of May.
That's really incredible that even with the weather that we've had, that's been so uncertain. You know, we haven't had fantastic weather, right? In March and April, and even into May, we've had some spotty weather. That you're already almost 25% to where you were last year.
Exactly, and you know, we've been fortunate. It has been dry. It has been one of the, I think I read that it was one of the driest springs in Chicagoland area so far this year. And then last year was after May, June, July, and August was fairly dry as well. And that helped, you know, golf in general.
So as far as the junior clinics, et cetera, up there, tell us a little, do you know much about that and what's going to, when that's going to start and how young can the kids be?
So Rob Saunders, he's our manager of golf programs and services. He handles all junior clinics that we have. And then we also partnered with the golf practice, and the golf practice out of Highland Park. They're at several locations, but they're going to do youth clinics as well at Sunset Valley at the short game area. I think 5 years old is the youngest that you can be to partake. But I'm not for certain on that.
And do you have to be a resident of Highland Park, or can you be, you know, just a regular average family from somewhere?
Yeah, you do not have to be a resident. We have non-resident and resident rates.
That's great.
Ryan, a quick question, because I didn't realize this. As Barry said, you're responsible for the ground. So that's always fascinated me, how the golf course grounds are maintained and manicured and, I mean, just, you know, sculpted to perfection. What goes into that? What is your background, and how does one get into that?
I grew up in Southern Illinois, and my first full-time job was on a golf course, and then I went to school at the University of Illinois to go into turf, and just always liked it, enjoyed it, and you know, we did the renovation at Sunset Valley, and my bosses asked me if I wanted to kind of do both. But we have a great golf operations manager, Cole Sangren, and Eileen Orth, who's our clubhouse coordinator, that do a fantastic job of managing the pro shop and golf operations. And then that allows me just to kind of oversee the financials and then really do my main thing, which is manage the grass.
Well, one thing about that golf course, Ryan, is that the people I met up there a few years ago when they first renovated it said, whatever you do, don't tell anybody, because everybody's just going to come and play here all the time. And I know you have people from the city just streaming up there to play. And it's terrific. 41,000 rounds is unbelievable. It's a lot of golf. And the conditions are terrific, and it really is a tribute to you and your staff. I know all the guys out there driving the mowers and raking the bunkers, et cetera. Oh, speaking of raking the bunkers, do you have rakes back in your bunkers?
We do have rakes back in the bunkers. We do.
Wow. Yeah. See, I don't like that. I think you should take them out, and just so we never have to rake a bunker again. You know, they're supposed to be a hazard, Ryan, okay? That's the deal. I imagine the board took a vote. What did Rick say? Yeah. What did Rick Jacobson say about putting rakes back in the bunker? He doesn't want them in there, does he?
Yeah, it really wasn't the board. It was more the golfers wanted the rakes back in the bunkers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, they're no fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Barry just wants to leave his footprints in there. Well, and then Barry, exactly. Barry never makes his way into the bunkers. We know
Well, he does, but he doesn't want to bend over and pick up the rake and traipse around and, you know, all that.
If we didn't have to have rakes and bunkers, ball washers, it'd be great. It'd be great. Just simple. Just golf at its finest.
Exactly. You're supposed to be a hazard. That's what I say. Like last week, sandy areas, not bunkers.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
Well, Ryan, we really appreciate you jumping on. It sounds like the new short game area is really fantastic, and I know people will look forward to utilizing that as they head on out to Sunset Valley. Your website, I see, I'm sitting on it right now, sunsetvalleygolfclub.org, for rounds, green fees, tournaments, et cetera. So everyone listening can check that out. So we appreciate you joining us this morning, Ryan.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Ryan.
Bye. That's Ryan Oakes, GM of Sunset Valley in Highland Park, new short game practice area, and that sounds like a nice add-on to an already nice golf course, Barry.
Well, it's really good, Mike. There are a number of courses that have been adding short game practice areas because really, when you think about it, at the end of the day, it's if you're into scoring and you want to get better at golf, want to make your scores go down, putting and your chipping and sand are really extremely important elements of the game, because after all, you hit a drive and then you hit your second shot. We know that the most important shot in golf, Mike, is the approach to the green, your shot to the green. And a lot of times, people miss. So when you miss the green, what happens next? If you're going to make par, you have to be able to chip it really close to the hole to tap it in, just like Phil and Jordan do, right?
That's right.
So when you when you look at them play, I mean, guys like Mickelson, you know, and Spieth, they're short game savants, but they have to practice all the time, and they did. But now it's really difficult for the average person to practice the short game, because there's really, unless you're a member of a country club, and even a lot of country clubs don't have short game practice areas.
Right.
So if you have one in your community, it's really a blessing. And I know that people who are into golf understand that. So this is another place where you could just go up and do that. And what's really great about Sunset Valley is they've got this cool new clubhouse that they built. It's very nice, and it's very enjoyable. You can sit outside on the patio, have a drink, and chill out, and take a lot of satisfaction on the fact that you just practice your short game for a half an hour, and now you can have a beer.
Absolutely. No, and we all need practice on it, and that way we won't end up in the bunkers, Barry. We won't need the rakes or non-rakes, depending on on how we want to play it, right? So
that's right. I'm a non-rake absolutist. What can I tell you?
That's right. We will head down to Colonial Country Club next, this weekend's tournament, and talk to Drew Davison from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He is covering the event. We'll talk Jordan Spieth, who's leading. We'll talk Little Phil. We'll talk all things Colonial next, right here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. This is 670 The Score. And we are back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Texas music this week, Barry, down in Texas for the Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth. And
the great Janis Joplin.
Doesn't get more Texas than Janis Joplin, does it?
The late, great Janis Joplin, and her song written by Kris Kristofferson.
That's
also
right.
Also a Texas guy, yeah. So there you go.
So, and we have
continuing to educate our audience on every element of our culture.
Well, and here's a cool thing that our audience can do too, Barry. Log on to cdga.org/contest. We have a CDGA starter pack for you, a season starter pack, which you get an Imperial hat, towel, and zero friction super tube with Spectrum Mat balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need to start the season, cdga.org/contest. For your chance to win that prize pack that I think most people would like to have.
People should definitely sign up and do this. The towel itself is worth the phone call, it's not worth the phone call. It's worth going on the website and trying to win. And then the golf balls are good too. Those zero friction golf balls are really good. So I'm a big believer. And you get a hat. So there you go. What else could you want?
Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. So, Mike, we're going to go down to Fort Worth, Texas, in a few minutes to talk to our guy Drew Davison from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. But before we do, I thought I'd just mention that we've got a couple of Chicago area guys who are doing okay at Colonial, made the cut. Kevin Streelman, who had a great tournament. We forgot to mention him at the PGA. He had a great tournament last week at the PGA, and he's tied for 11th. And Doug Gim, who is much younger than Kevin, is T42. So Doug's back in the field. Doug didn't play last week. But as we remember, Kevin was in the second to last group playing with Louis Oosthuizen, and he did real well. I was really rooting for Kevin. He shot three over on the final day and a couple of bogeys on the back nine, but very competitive early, made a couple of early birdies, and he was really in it. He didn't get a lot of TV time, which kind of disappointed me. You know, Kevin is not as dashing or charismatic a figure, shall we say, than a Phil Mickelson or a Brooks Koepka. But nevertheless, he played really terrific golf, and good for him. I know everybody in Chicago was rooting for him. He's been out on the tour for a long time. He used to practice over at the White Pines Golf Dome in Bensonville on the late winter nights. Mike Monroe's old place over there in the western suburbs, it's always great to see Kevin doing well.
Yeah, steady Eddie as he goes. Yeah, with a 66 yesterday, 5 under par. You mentioned he's 6 shots back, tied for 11th right now. Is Kevin Streelman, and certainly a guy that makes it easy locally here to root for. He's tied with Colin Morikawa, among others, and we'll definitely keep our eyes on him. I wanted to ask you too, Barry, because he's definitely a famous name in the game, but you don't necessarily always see him these days up atop a leaderboard. But a Sergio Garcia is up there after a 63 round one, came back to earth a little bit with a 69 yesterday, but still 8 under, third place right now in this tournament.
Yeah, Sergio missed the cut last week at Kiowa, and he lives down in Texas now. He married a Texas girl. They have a baby, and I think they live in the Dallas area. So it's, I believe it's a home game for him, which is nice. And, it's hard to know. Nobody would have picked Phil Mickelson to win the PGA Championship last week. Nobody. I guarantee you. I watched all of the Golf Channel pregame, for 2 days before the tournament, and Brandel Chambly and Justin Leonard, and none of those guys said, I think that Phil Mickelson's going to win this tournament. I never heard those words any more than I heard, I think Hideki Matsuyama's going to win the Masters. So it's very, very, I guess my point is not to troll them, but basically to say, it's so hard to know one week from another which golfer is going to do any good, because we don't know. We never, unlike football and some, even hockey, at least you have some idea that maybe somebody's injured. You don't really know from in golf from week to week or even day to day. Did they tweak a back muscle? Did they hurt something in their hand? Like, for example, Jordan Spieth was in a slump for 3 years. And then we finally heard, when he started to get better this year, we finally heard, he had a hand injury and he was compensating for his hand injury. And you go, wow, who would ever know that? And you wouldn't know, because he didn't tell anybody. So that, I guess what I'm saying is, it's very difficult to know when some great golfer is going to pop up and say, hey, I'm still here.
Here
I'm Sergio, and I'm still around.
Right. Well, and for more on Jordan and this week's Colonial down in Fort Worth, let's head on out to the Alpamont & Nissan Hotline, Alpamont & Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at apnissan.com. From the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, our pal Drew Davison joins us on the scorecard. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Good morning, Drew. Nice to have you on again. Thank you very much for being on. What's it like down there this week? I know Phil missed the cut and Jordan's leading. So at least the fans down there have one favorite to root for.
Oh yeah, no. Well, and just the course in general, it's kind of soggy, kind of wet. They had a 2.5 hour rain delay the other day. So, it looks like, weather should be good today, tomorrow, and you're just kind of going off your, previous segment on, not knowing what guys are going to play well or whatnot. Jordan Spieth, kind of one of those, he's had his ups and downs, like you guys were talking about the last few years, but Colonial always seems to be his course where he contends, and he's always in the hunt. He's made every cut here obviously won in 2016. So I definitely think, you know, he's the clear-cut favorite now that he's in the league going into the weekend.
Yeah, his short game is very magical, and I noticed he putted lights out yesterday.
Yeah, he drained I may be wrong. He drained, I believe, a 23-footer on number 3 and a 21-footer on number 14 to take the lead. So, you know, he talked earlier this week, you know, not comparing Colonial and Augusta greens per se because they're very different. I've never played Augusta, but just from what Jordan is saying, they're very different makeup. But his comfort level on each is very similar, where he feels very confident, you know, just reading the greens, knowing where to putt it, the pace, the speed, things like that. So, you know, his comfort level around Colonial is very similar to his comfort level around Augusta, and he was obviously able to get it rolling the other day, and really, you know, the first day too. He hasn't made a bogey yet, so he's playing really solid golf.
Yeah, and Drew, I was you know, joking around a little bit with Barry, just talking about Sergio Garcia, because you know, he came out on fire with the 63, 69 yesterday, but he's right there too. And I did not realize that Sergio was living in Texas now.
Yeah, he lives down in or I believe maybe part time down in Austin. If he's in the U.S. playing, you know, the PGA Tour, his wife, I believe, is from the Austin area, so I think they have a house down there. So this is an easy tournament for him to get to, and you know, it's actually his 20th anniversary of his first PGA Tour win from the 2001 Colonial. So this is a course he knows well. He plays well, and it's really Colonial's kind of set up. It's kind of the old school shot makers course where it's very hard to overpower. I mean, that's why Dustin Johnson, you know, this is not a regular on his stop, and some of the longer hitters, Bryson DeChambeau, you know, that they can obviously contend here, but it doesn't really suit the power game, so to speak. So players that are older, you can kind of see winning this tournament. I mean, a few years back, Steve Stricker won, which I think was one of his last wins on the PGA Tour. So older players can definitely contend, compete on this course. And so it's not surprising to see a guy like Sergio at 41 being right in the thick of it.
And how about this story on your sponsor exemption down there, Eric Compton? Just amazing. Here's, for folks who don't know, here's a gentleman who had two heart transplants, not one, two. How'd your first one go? Yeah, it was okay, but I'd like to get another one. I mean, unbelievable that this guy is playing so well. He's tied for sixth. He shot 65, 68 in the first two rounds. What do you know the backstory, Drew, on how he got a sponsor exemption? And because he's been playing out there in the Korn Ferry Tour for a while.
Yeah, no, that's actually what's going to be a story I kind of pursued today, just to kind of see, you know, kind of why Colonial offered the exemption. But, you know, he hasn't played this tournament since, I believe, 2015. So he's made the cut two of his three starts at Colonial. So he's had some success here, but certainly not at the level he's shown these first 2 days. So kind of like you said, he's obviously a feel-good story, you know, one of those guys you like kind of seeing climb up the leaderboard, just given his history, his background. But, you know, like I said, he's had some success at Colonial, but it's been a while since he's played here.
They've got a pretty darn good field at that tournament right now. I mean, you've got Colin Morikawa there well, he's tied for 11th. You got Tony Finau, Kevin Kisner, Justin Rose. I mean, it's really a nice field. And of course, then you do have a bunch of guys who missed the cut. You know who's playing? You mentioned the power game. Justin Thomas is playing, which sort of surprised me because I know he hasn't played there regularly. And Gary Woodland, yeah, there's another guy that crushes it.
Yeah. Gary Woodland had a really nice hit. So, you know, last year, this was the first event coming out of the COVID restart. So a lot of guys played it that may not have normally played it. And Justin Thomas was one of those guys. He played his first ever Colonial in 2020 and finished, I think, tied for 10th, tied for 9th, right in that range. And obviously played really well. And his caddy, Jimmy Johnson, actually caddied for a couple previous Colonial winners. I believe Nick Price back in the day, and there's one other that's escaping my name.
He caddied for Stricker.
For Steve Stricker, yeah. He's obviously, his caddy is loves Colonial, knows the course as well as anyone. He's not really up there yet, but, you know, he put together a nice round yesterday to make the cut. So he'll be playing this weekend. And like you said, Colin Morikawa, who finished runner-up in a playoff last year to Daniel Berger, he's right there, 5-under, 6 off the lead. So, you know, he can make a run. And like you said, those guys are 4-under, you know, the Justin Roses and Kevin Kisners and Berger's right at 4-under, I believe. So, you know, those are past champions who, who knows, they could get hot and you know, make some noise this weekend.
Hey, Drew. Go ahead, Mike.
Drew, I was just going to ask you about our favorite lefty, Mr. Mickelson, coming off of the PGA win. I know did not make the cut, almost did, but kind of hold out there at the end on 18. The reaction to Phil was probably pretty great, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so the first two rounds Phil was paired with Spieth and Daniel Berger. So that is clearly the marquee group. And I think Colonial, you know, they're estimated between 10 and 12,000 fans out here. And I want to say 8,000 or 9,000, it seemed like, we're following that group alone. Because, you know, it was kind of empty until you saw that group coming down the fairways. That's a marquee group. Obviously, Phil had a ton of support. I guess he would say he activated his thumbs up a lot, you know, just fans obviously praising him for winning the PGA. Obviously for the Fort Worth golf fans, it's disappointing he's not playing this weekend, just, you know, because he's obviously the hottest name in golf right now. He had a shot there on 18, a little 13-footer, wasn't able to connect. So, you know, he certainly – just from the pro-am to the first 2 days, I know he interacted with fans and, you know, obviously he was great. And I know, you know, Colonial obviously enjoyed having him down here, especially, you know, nobody would have been surprised if he took the week off to celebrate his big win. But he honored his commitment and you know, shoot, was an inch or two away from playing this weekend.
Yeah, that's really good that he did honor his commitment, and totally professional thing to do, and that's really terrific. Drew, one last question before we go. What's it been like for you? Give the listeners a little bit of a background on what it's been like for you as a reporter trying to cover that event, and maybe compare and contrast with last year.
Yeah, well, you know, this year it's similar to last year in terms of, you know, it's still COVID protocols per se. You know, we're not able to talk to the golfers in person, so to speak, or one-on-one. You know, it's a lot of Zooms and a lot of I forget the phrase they use. I think they call it like the hot box or something like that. You know, kind of where they talk to players and you know, you just kind of submit questions. But with that being said, you know, I've gotten to know a couple, like Ryan Palmer, JJ Henry, some of these PGA Tour guys who live in town. You know, where if I really needed a quote or whatnot, just on the course or anything like that, I can shoot them a text. They'll get back to me usually. So, you know, it helps in that regard, but certainly it's nice having fans back. I just remember last year, the Morikawa missed a pretty short putt that would have forced another playoff hole. And there is like no reaction. I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, you would have heard the groans or, you know, if he makes it, the roars and whatnot, just, you know, because obviously whoever's kind of in contention, you know, people, you know, kind of get behind, start rallying and, you know, kind of learn up, read up on. So, it was a very bizarre event to cover last year, but, you know, on the same side, it was good that, hey, at least you have some sports to write and talk about. But this year, it's definitely better. The fans definitely make the environment, the atmosphere better. I think the players would say that, too.
Yeah, and certainly, Drew, and we appreciate your time this morning on the show. It'll be great to get back to the one-on-ones with the golfers, getting back in the clubhouses and locker rooms and all of that. to do normal sports reporting as it is, right? But certainly better. It continues to get better, and we certainly appreciate your time this morning on the scorecard.
Yep, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Drew. That is Drew Davison, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, down at Colonial, and Jordan Spieth with your lead right now at 11 under par. That's definitely something, and Barry, we can talk about it later in the show because we need to take a timeout, but reporting during the pandemic, I mean, it's all Zooms and not a lot of in-person. We could dip our toe into that a little bit later if we wanted to, but right now we need to take a timeout. Coming up when we return at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, Scott Fawcett will join us. He is a former tour pro, one of the best and hottest teachers in all of golf. We will talk to Scott next, right here on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.